What's going on, Real Ass fans? This is the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez. Did you know that we do this show live twice a week, every Monday and Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern? You can watch the show live exclusively at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Gas Digital members not only get the live stream, but you also get the video version of the show, live chat, archived episodes, plus brand new episodes 5 days before they go to Google Play, iTunes, or anywhere else. We've also got a bunch of other great shows on the network, like The Josta Show, Legion of Skanks, Bruce Buffer's It's Time, and brand new, starting right now, Believe You Me, with UFC middleweight champion Michael the Count Bisping. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. When you check out, use the promo code RAP, and you save $1 on monthly membership. Plus, you get a 14-day free trial to see if you like it. That's just $6 per month. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. Promo code RAP when you check out. And even if you can't subscribe for the exclusive content, you can still help us out by going to iTunes right now, subscribing for free for the audio version, leaving us a positive review and a 5-star ranking. Thanks for listening. Keep being a real ass dude. Baby, 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 oh. Fucking! 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 Fucking!
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Yo, what's up, motherfuckers? It's your boy, Luis J. Gomez. Brah, 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 indeed. We're not just doing any sound effects, Aaron. We do gunshots. Brr, brr, brr. That sounds like a black cricket.
Yeah, that sounded Jamaican. Like his gun sounded Jamaican.
Yeah, yeah. Did it sound like
all the moon crickets, by the way.
They were great in that Oscar-winning film. The moon crickets.
The gay crickets.
Oh, shit. All right, look, man, we got a great show planned. Real Ass Podcast Live, Wednesdays. Zach Amico, international superstar. What's up, kid?
It's your other boy. Psh, psh. It's a water gun.
Okay. Psh, psh. Also, from Tim Dillon is going to hell, the one and only Tim Dillon. What's up?
It's always great to be here. Thank you.
What's up, Q?
I appreciate it.
Love having you on the show, man. Look at that. We look good.
Thank you for letting me have a chocolate cream filled Twinkie yesterday. Not good. Verdict? Not good.
Not great.
Not great.
Not great. We're going to get into that a little bit too because Hostess on the rise. Also, from In Hot Water, very good friend of mine, Aaron Berg, joins the show. What's up, brother?
Sup, Lou.
Sup, kid?
You know, doing this, that, the other.
I did your show yesterday.
So good. Having a baby girl with my baby girl face girl.
Congratulations.
Take care of my daughter, baby girl. Thanks.
You have a name?
We're thinking of something very white privilege right now.
Okay.
We're toying some things around.
I like it.
Yeah. Firehose. Yeah. Firehose Berg.
Ivanka.
What if you named your kids like Supreme?
Yeah.
Supremacy. What if you just named them Supremacy?
That's a great name.
This is Supremacy. Yeah. Supremacy Berg.
Yep. Yeah. That's a pretty
She's
solid
white, right?
black yeah. name, though.
It is
like
a great.
Supremacy.
That's a great black name.
Yeah. 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 I think the time we've now come full circle with baby names where it's no longer a fucking weird, like, shitty names. There was a weird dip off, I think, up until maybe 2013 where everyone was naming their kids, like, really faggy names.
Austin. Yeah. Cody.
Yeah, Caleb.
Yeah.
There's something that's fucking inspired by
Soft.
Yeah. And now we're going back to, and I think I have something to do with this. I inspired a generation because right around the time I had my kid, James.
A boy's name.
Right.
A boy, a real fucking name.
Yeah.
We all knew a James growing up. He was a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
They were typically good
kids. Yeah, it's funny. James was never a piece of shit.
Yeah.
No.
Typically.
Yeah. Jim was a piece of shit.
Well, Jimmy sold you coke.
Jimmy was essential, though. You know? Like,
you needed a Jimmy, but that's the thing. It depends on, like, I wanted to call my son Jimmy because I wanted him to sell me coke eventually.
Yeah.
But it never rolled off the tongue. I was like, I'm going to call him little Jimmy Gomez.
Yeah.
And Beatrice was like, no way. We're not calling my kid Jimmy. You're crazy. Yeah. And I was like, no, it's going to happen. And then I had him, and I was like, you know what? He's a fucking James. Yeah. He's a good kid. That's it. So good for you. So you don't want to say the name yet? You don't want to unveil?
No, not yet. We haven't absolutely confirmed it yet. My wife was sick last night, too. I feel horrible when they get sick and they're pregnant. They're carrying your seed, and then she's sick.
You're like, what are you doing to my seed, bitch?
Yeah. Why you got diarrhea? Don't you shit that out. I don't want you to end up on MTV.
Yeah. There better only be brown in that toilet. Yeah.
You keep your Rhea inside of you. She said she bleached the toilet. She made a mess. I had to stay home last night. I canceled the spot. I had to miss... George Wallace and Jerry Seinfeld.
You're a good dude. It's so funny because I'm such the opposite guy. Like, my son's mother was pregnant, and I would never miss a spot. I was like, no, this is like, I need to do it.
Yeah.
This is like so important for this baby. I would justify it.
Yeah.
And she could never even wrap her mind around it because she wasn't a comic. You're with a comic.
Yeah.
And you're still that good of a dude.
She was like, go do your spot. She's like, don't cancel Gotham.
She's like, go, get better, please.
Yeah, please, we need more money. You gotta fucking elevate this dick joke game.
Work on that act now.
Is Seinfeld just at Gotham every night now?
He's doing a lot of Gotham.
I'm getting a little sick. Everyone's got a fucking story. Kevin Hart, Seinfeld. I've been doing comedy in New York 7 years. Never nobody's ever dropped in.
But
anything.
I was that guy until like a couple months ago. I've and now it's everybody all
get
the
Gaffigan,
time.
Gaffigan, which is nice, but that's it.
That's famous, but that's not.
Right, I've never gotten Amy, Seinfeld, Kevin Hart.
That's strange.
I've gotten none of them.
I have a video from when I was super young in comedy where I was on stage at Stand Up New York. Like, I'm talking about like a year in comedy, not even.
Yeah.
And Seinfeld came in, and there's like the video. I wish I had it still. It's somewhere probably. I tried to find it. But the waiter comes up and hands me a note and says, it just says, Seinfeld's here, put him up first. And you just watch me. It's my first moment of like ever. I know I'm about to shake hands with Seinfeld. I know Seinfeld's
now. Did Seinfeld touch you?
He touched me. Oh, yeah, we shook hands.
Yeah, he shakes hands.
I knew he was in the room watching me. For a young comic, like, one of the greats, I didn't really give a fuck about Seinfeld.
Right.
You know, he wasn't like one of my influences, but it's still, comedy royalty is in the room watching you, and I just nervously pitter-pattered through my next joke.
Do you remember the joke you were doing? I imagine it's the same act you do now.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit worse, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I've added a few more cunts and faggots to it.
Yes. You do the pedophile bit? Yeah. I fuck kids! Anyway,
cunts! All right, Seinfeld.
Legend.
No, but it was, a moment, and you just watch the crowd lose their fucking
shit. They lose their shit for some. And then Seinfeld brought up Chappelle a week ago when I was there. And but more insane than bringing up Seinfeld.
People throw bananas at Chappelle. That's crazy. They shouldn't do that.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. People do get fucking excited. I don't know. There's something about New York. There's like a too cool for school New York thing. I think most people kind of have that with celebrities where they're not super impressed with a celebrity walking down the street. We're not going to follow a celebrity. We're fucking New Yorkers, right?
Right.
But it's weird. You put them in a comedy club where they're like packed like a can of sardines and there's just like kinetic energy where Kevin Hart comes in the room and they can't fucking contain themselves.
Right.
If there was nobody else around, right? And it was Kevin Hart was right there. They wouldn't start screaming and shrieking it like lunatics. But there's something about being there in that moment, and everyone jumps up together.
Well, I think part of it is that, one, obviously these guys are great, and to see them is great. But the other thing is, like, there's something in the back of their head that's like, tomorrow at work, I get to be the guy that goes in and tells the story of, like, you never guess where I saw fucking Seinfeld. And everybody's kind of envious of you, and like, oh, and you're the cool guy for that hour.
For that hour.
So and that's why people...
I got shit because on my other show, my radio show, I just kind of shit on sports journalists in general.
Yeah.
I was kind of going like, if your life is like following other dudes, like living their dream and being the best at something, and you're the best at looking at another dude and writing about him being the best, like that's fucking really, in my opinion, that's a fucking shitty existence. I couldn't imagine covering another dude living his dream being what I do for a living.
Right.
That would make me want to fucking kill myself.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, the person doing that wanted to be that guy.
Yes.
They wanted to be Michael Jordan, and they just had no fucking talent.
What do you think agents and managers are?
Little nebbishy Jews that can't run or jump. Yeah, that's what they are.
I'm Jeremy Rothenstein, and we're here live with Michael Jordan. I used to play some hoops back in my day. Did you know that?
Right. Well, listen, man. It's a lot of people in the comedy business wanted to be comedians, and fucking now they don't.
But that's exactly the same thing, and you're right about that.
Yeah.
And
film critics too.
Yeah, anybody who kind of leeches onto the real like talent in an industry, right? And this is across the board. Not saying that comedians are talented. This is actors, this is musicians, whoever it is, right? They're just kind of like they leech on and they suck off the actual talent. And it's fine. There has to be an industry around it. I understand that it exists.
Yeah.
But I don't have to respect the people that choose to go into that part of the industry.
Yeah.
And what they reminded me of was you're talking about the guy that sees a celebrity and goes and now has a story and posts it on Facebook and is excited about it and selfies. And his story is being around somebody that's great. That's kind of, you know, that's kind of crazy to me.
But that's the story of the majority of people on Earth. Like most people on Earth, when they go to a sports game and they're watched, they're living vicariously through this small percentage of people that's really killing it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what most people are doing.
And I get it.
Yeah.
I love MMA, you know, and I watch it. I'm watching, you know, I really fucking love the sport. I'm a fan, but I almost feel like I need, when I even after I leave anything, if I leave a baseball game or a mixed martial arts event, a high-level like professional sporting event, or if I watch a band, like if I go see the Deftones live or another band that I really like that, you know, I'm really into their shit.
Cranberries.
Neil Diamond.
Whatever.
But I walk out and I get inspired and I go, I got to go fucking create.
Yeah.
My inspiration isn't let me, oh my God, I got to go get likes on this picture of this band on this stage now.
Right.
My inspiration.
You got to go get your own pair of Jankos and do your own thing.
Yeah, it's true.
It's weird. That's why one of my big pet peeves, man, is whenever a comedy, like a comedian takes a photo with a celebrity, or it's to me, to me, it's like, that's dude. Such a bad look.
Yeah, can I tell you, I did it once.
Pretend you're...
And it was with the worst person, someone you would never imagine.
It was a selfie.
The East Village.
Yeah.
That's good. I see Hank Azaria. So I walk by Hank Azaria. I'm like, oh, that's Hank Azaria. Then I see Paul Schaefer. I lose my shit.
Oh, wow.
But out of my body. Oh, my God, Paul Schaefer. This is like recent.
And he
this
went, oh, my God, me on steroids.
Yeah, 8 months ago. And I'm like, can I take a picture? Oh, I'm a comedian and I moved here from And then after I was like, what the fuck did I just do?
Yeah.
And it made no sense to me. And I'd never done it before.
I can't Paul Schaefer. Be that guy. It's so weird. I mean, I guess I've done it a few times. You know, with that, I get a little fanboyish about MMA, but I can really justify it because I truly feel like we're doing something pretty extraordinary, you know, by doing comedy or taking a chance on any high level. I'm not one of these guys that sucks my own dick for being a comic. I don't think being a comic is extraordinary.
No.
I think it's kind of everything else. The fact that I get to do comedy at night in conjunction with everything else that I'm doing and it kind of works that I'm doing what I want to do, that's really what's extraordinary.
Right.
Telling dick jokes, there's 1,000 comics that are not extraordinary by any means, and I don't commend them for not getting a date. Quit, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You're not good, and you're actually just clogging up the system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into. We got a lot to talk about today. That's a good. That was a great intro. Sometimes we do a little fucking intro to the show.
Yeah.
That was it. That we're not even into the meat of the fucking show. Yeah. We got to do some plugs. Let's
Zach
do it.
Had some zingers.
Let's great. Get some plugs. Here it is. Shannon, can you get a lower quality version of the song?
This guy was listening to this on the train, and I taped it off of him listening to it on the train.
This is a bad... All right, turn it off. Turn it off. I hate it.
It reminds me of, like, we smoke a pot listening to a Walkman.
That's from
like
Southpaw.
1999, you know? Like, that was the level of quality.
That was fucking awful. Well, Southpaw. No. Let's hear. Good. I don't like the song, I realized.
Yeah. Southpaw.
I just realized I don't like the song, and I'm blaming Shannon for Eminem's production team. It's terrible. Give me a song to do plugs to, Tim. What's your favorite song?
Gregorian Chant. I like that a lot.
Okay, fine.
Any Gregorian Chant? Pull it up, Shannon. Just do Gregorian Chant and then do plugs. Watch.
Him.
No, watch. Do it. See if you don't fucking feel good. Do plugs.
Aaron, anything coming up?
This weekend, Aaron Berg will be live at the Laugh Shop in Calgary, Alberta. Thursday through Saturday, 5 shows. Tickets for Thursday are only $12.95. Get them, you heebs. And Friday and Saturday, $20 each. Ian Lara will be opening for Aaron Berg.
Shannon, can we get a beat? Put a hip-hop beat underneath this, please.
Sunday, make sure you attend your local Presbyterian church and give.
This is great, Lewis.
Also, follow him at Aaron Berg Comedy on Twitter. Thank you, and may God walk unto you.
Ooh. Yeah, what's up?
That just turned into fucking Yanni or Enya.
This weekend, Friday and Saturday night, I'll be at the Brokerage headlining in Belmore. Thursday, tomorrow night, I'll be at Nick's Comedy Stop with Luis J. Gomez and Dave Smith. Come out and see us. Are there tickets left? There should be. Come on out. Meet us. We're doing a podcast somewhere at a rest stop. I don't know what we're doing, but we're going to get real freaky in a trucker's bathroom. TimDillonComedy.com for any other live dates. Thank you.
Thank you.
Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Snapchat me your cat, Zach Amico. April 8th, Laugh It Up Mahoney's in Poughkeepsie. 25th, opening night, Meadowlands Comedy Festival, Sea Caucus, New Jersey. And if you're listening live, I'll be at the New Jersey Horror Con Friday and Saturday at the Troma Table.
With people running away from him thinking he's an attraction.
Why would they run away from me thinking I'm an attraction?
Shut up, Zach. Just paradox. Shut the fuck up, Zach. By the way, this is better than any music that anybody's ever created. I realize that. I mean, this is incredible.
This is great.
Gregorian chant with hip hop.
What happened?
Oh. Now
it's a mashup.
As soon as you said that, it just totally took a shit.
Because it turned into Pink Floyd. Guys, yeah. Once again, tomorrow night, next Comedy Stop with Timmy D. Skankfest general sale starts Monday. This Monday, April 3rd, if you're listening to this on iTunes right now, bitch, right now, right fucking now, go to creeklic.com and get your tickets. This shit's going to sell out. I'm telling you right now, we're not fucking around. We've already announced Dan Soder, Joe List, already announced Burke Kreischer, already announced Ron Bennington doing multiple shows today. I don't know if we can announce the shows that he's doing, but he's doing a lot of shit at the festival. Big announcements coming up tonight. We're naming one of the biggest one of the biggest guys that are coming to the festival. We're announcing him tonight after midnight, which is going to be incredible. If you're listening on iTunes right now, creeklic.com, get your tickets. $90 VIP all access. You're going to want all access tickets. It's an entire nonstop party for basically from Friday night until Sunday night. We're going to be taking over the Creek and Cave and another huge, amazing loft space just walking distance from the Creek and Cave.
Rebecca's apartment.
In Long Island City. It's her pussy, actually.
Yeah.
It's very... very cavernous open space, and it was really, they didn't even want a rental fee. They nearly paid us to take
it. It came with theater seats.
There was a little theater cat running around. It smelled a little funky, but to be honest, dude, it's got the Skankfest vibe.
Right.
Undeniably. No, obviously, I'm kidding. Rebecca's pussy, you cannot do a comedy show inside of it. Get your tickets, creeklic.com. Also, the Believe You Me podcast just launched with Michael Bisping. We did our fourth episode. We're fucking crushing it. We're like top two or three in England, just period. U.S., get on those fucking iTunes charts. Subscribe, rate, review. Let me know what you think of the fucking show. It's me and UFC middleweight champion talking shit about the sport in depth every single week here on the Gas Digital Network. Also, April 8th, I'm doing a benefit with Dave Smith and Justin Silver and Mike Feeney. We're going to be in Bowers, Pennsylvania. If you guys want to come to this benefit, it's $50, but that's all in drinks and dinner included. Email Gil at cutstown.edu, K-U-T-Z-T-O-W-N.edu. Also, the 20th or 22nd, Moon Tower, Austin, Texas. I'll be out there. Just announced a bunch of shows, two stand-up shows, Comedy 101, Legion of Skanks Live. 24th will be in Houston for Death Squad Live. And last but not least, I'll be back out in Los Angeles May 22nd or 27th. A lot of stuff happening in the world of the Puerto Rican rattlesnake.
So much stuff.
So much stuff. Thank you, Shannon. I'd like to use another coffee. You're the best. So, boys, great show planned today. Very happy to have you guys here. Timmy, I want to start with this because I know we have notes. I have notes. I'm one of the only guys who come in like I'm very prepared for my show. You know,
I'm very impressed at the single page of about seven sentences written. I think it sets you apart.
Yeah,
I like it. I'm saying it's good.
Does it not set me apart though?
I think it's good.
Actually, I'm glad you said that, Tim.
Yes,
because it shows you how lazy most people are.
Yeah,
you're damn right.
Because this was done in transit.
Right.
While I'm on my way from Harlem down here,
you know,
I was dealing with some other shit this morning.
Yeah.
So I wrote this on my way, doing research, only getting internet signal from my hotspot on my phone at every stop.
Yeah.
So I get internet and I look up something, right? And then I write.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Internet, look up something, boom. So this.
And you had, in one of the things, you had actually something about Justin Bieber, you had the time to say, is he a dick or justified? And you capitalized J-U-S-T, just. So you're on a train, Wi-Fi's coming in and out.
Yeah.
and you still say, let's make this stylized.
Yes.
And fun.
Yes.
That's great.
He's creating within the creation.
I feel like you're being sarcastic, but you're actually describing why I'm a genius.
I have a weird respect for you where I don't want to have it, but I have it. It's a straight, like, it's one of those, it's so there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have it, but it's so, I mean, it's
he has it.
You know what it is, Tim? Because we're cut from the same cloth.
We do
just a little bit different, right? And we've taken different paths.
I'm back on Red Eye. I sided with you.
Yeah.
I didn't want to tell you, but you persuaded me. But I didn't want to give you the satisfaction.
Of course, nobody wants to give me the satisfaction.
No, but
I'm back on Red Eye.
I'm going to go back because I have nothing to lose. And even though they're not paying me, I could string together a few fans.
Yeah.
Why the fuck not?
You had
a good point.
It's as simple as that. And the biggest thing for Red Eye that I think is good, okay?
Yeah.
It's practicing.
I still think they could pay you 50 fucking bucks.
They could, but they're not going to.
I know.
They're not going to. So you got to make a decision and say, is it worth it? You forget fucking making these stupid points that we make,
right?
It's fucking T-Trump. You love it.
Yeah.
But
you do Red Eye?
No.
Why don't you do Red Eye?
Why don't I do Red
Eye? I'll get you on Red Eye.
We'll all get you on Red Eye.
All right, let's get me on Red Eye. And then I want to go in the first episode, do my thing, and then go, what the fuck do you mean you don't pay? The fuck is this?
Walk out, punch Tom Selleck
in his face. I fucking came in here for a fucking hour of my time. I wrote these fucking bits. This queer's harping at me.
Yeah, you should just go before you get on set. You should just go, here's my wire information. You can just wire me the money.
And also, I'll say, Tim, you know what? People weren't really talking about Red Eye not paying until the first fucking asshole opened their mouth and said Red Eye doesn't pay.
Who was it?
You keep it sexy, stupid, okay?
Right.
You keep it sexy.
Yeah.
So why?
It's just when you look at News Corp and they got like $8 billion cash on hand, you go, you know what?
Yeah.
But hey, I realized when we were having the conversation, you had a great point. You said, well, you know, what the fuck is the downside? The upside is if you pick up five fans that fucking subscribe, buy your album, go to your show, you're in the
point.
Fucking...
Every fan is worth however much fucking money in the future, you know? And it could be the person that changes your life. Who knows, brother?
Right.
Who knows? What are you doing during Red Eye?
Yeah, it's true.
It's not like we don't have to give up spots. You go in at 8, you're out by 9.
Thing. Yeah, they send the car. Yeah,
don't know, bitch. I also.
It's like a podcast that less people watch.
Yes.
Yeah, right, that's what it is.
It's true.
If you guys want to see Aaron Berg on Red Eye, tweet at Red Eye, but make sure you use his Harambe costume or use his ISIS faggot.
I want him on Red Eye as ISIS faggot. Yeah. That's what I want
to
see.
I would love to do it as ISIS faggot.
They wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do it.
What if we call him ISIS weirdo?
Yeah.
No.
That's the new word in the comedy community for faggot.
Yeah.
Is weirdo, which I, by the way, I've done that in my act, dude.
What?
I'm like, because you can't, you got to say, oh, what are you, a weirdo?
Yeah.
Stop looking at my dick. What are you, a weirdo?
Take my penis outside of your buttocks. What are you, a weirdo?
So, but no, Timmy, I have a lot of respect for you as well.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it before many times. If we had met each other earlier in life, we probably would have died. We would have probably gotten into some sort of crazy scam.
Be in jail.
Yeah, done a bunch of drugs together. Yeah. Probably fucking.
Aaron, do you smell like a blimpy right now?
I smell like I went to the gym.
Yeah,
right,
what is that, dude? You smell fucking. You smell like oil.
No, that's not me. Mine's just armpits.
Yeah, I don't know. That is a weird smell.
Yeah.
Tim, how do you smell?
I smell fine. I smell like cake.
It's not me.
I smell like a French toast bagel.
Tim's bathtub is just filled with fucking cake.
With cake.
And Russian
flags. You had a French toast bagel?
In Ralph's living room.
You can't. Listen to me.
We call that the green room.
Yeah, I apologize.
Keep it sexy.
He doesn't
stupid.
Keep it sexy.
Keep it
I
sexy,
didn't get paid
stupid.
For this, and I just ate French toast in someone's bed. That's the green room. No, it was a bed. We have a bed there for the green room.
Ralph's dog won't stop jumping on top of me. That's his personal assistant.
Yeah, that's security. That is our security. You better. He's checking your badge. Your gas digital badge.
Oh, shit. Mm. You can't, I don't like the dessert bagels.
I was going to go with a cinnamon raisin or potentially a
also
French toast.
A dessert bagel.
Yeah, I mean, I love in everything.
Yeah.
Too.
What about those colored bagels now, the blue ones?
I don't go in for that.
What are
you
those?
Know? No, I don't believe in that.
Well, no, that's just a blueberry bagel. Yeah, I worked at a bagel shop when I was like
a Jew.
30.
No. Okay. I was, how old was I?
71.
In the ninth grade.
Yeah.
In the ninth grade. Because
19.
I was... Shannon, don't you fucking laugh at Zach smashing me. You're on my side.
I got to get out of here. It's middle school prom tonight. I need someone cover my shift.
Listen to me. I worked there in the ninth grade. I was like 13. I got kicked out of school, right? I got and put into the after-school program.
Oof. Of course.
And I wasn't a bad kid. Yeah. I was like an attention seeker.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, cut class, go play hacky sack. Yeah. I didn't smoke weed till I was almost out of high school. I mean, right. I was like, I never
32.
I never cursed at a teacher in my life.
Yeah.
Like even I'd been suspended so many times. I was expelled from school.
Gotcha.
For just being, I had fucking ADD. That's really all it was. I had ADD and I had a shitty mom and I
a dead dad?
And a dead dad.
Right.
And a fucking
No, that's ADD.
A dead dad.
Zach, you got to dumb it down. Nobody's gonna get that. That's too good, dude.
Working too fast.
It's too good. That's super quick. I posted on. Pull this up in a second after I get through this speech. But I posted Zach. There's the video of him on Instagram. Go to my Instagram. He takes a moment, and I watch him think and start processing and racking his brain in like 2 seconds. And spit out a joke. It's very interesting to watch his fucking. It's psychotic.
No, because I shut down.
Yeah, he goes, and then goes, and then fuck.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy, dude. Like, because he has no personality, but he just adds so much funny to the show that I could never.
It's like pulling the lever on a slot machine. Yes. You see my eyes.
It's like a supercomputer.
Yeah.
It's like what Mike Lawrence does too, where it's like
autism.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
So, but I had gotten kicked out of school. And I was in an after-school program, but so I was able to get a job. I was able to get like different jobs that were like, you know, overnight, whatever it is. So I was delivering newspapers with my uncle, like really late at night sometimes. But then I picked up a job at a bagel shop, going in at like 3 a.m. and baking bagels all night, and getting out at like 7 a.m. when all my friends were going to school. I go to sleep, and then I went into school from 2:30 to like 5:30 p.m.
Yeah.
And I was known as the genius in after-school program.
Why?
Because everyone was a dumb animal.
Weirdo.
They're all weirdos.
Yeah.
No, they were like, you know, they were bad kids. They were kids who were fucking, you know, killing people and fucking fighting and
Rockland
doing drugs.
Right.
But they were like, no, I mean, Rockland County had like a little ghetto, like pocket, Spring Valley, Havasu. These kids are like, you know, bad kids. Their murders happened. Like, it was a real deal, you know? So those were those kids. And then there was me, who was like, you know, I used to wear eyeliner. I was a Marilyn Manson fan.
You're making danishes all night.
I brought these for the class, everybody. It's from my day job. Everybody read a paper from my uncle's paper delivery, and why don't you not have a bagel and a schmear? I'm going to sit over here and do my mathematics.
Yeah.
And the same personality as the guy from the Dunkin' Donut commercials from the 80s.
I love that. Bernard, what was his name?
I don't remember.
Like Bernard Tulsi or something? Yeah. That guy for the... Time to make the donuts.
Yeah, that was me. Every night. Time to make the bagels.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, but I would go in and I would fucking, it was one of the weirdest jobs, and not worth it, dude. I was getting paid like $7 an hour.
Yeah.
It was such a weird time in my life because I remember it was the summer, it was like whatever that song came out that Puffy sampled.
That's coming. Man.
Pull that on right now. The Puffy version.
Yeah.
Whatever that time was.
B.I.G.
When that song came out, that song was fucking the fire.
It was heat.
Because we had FM radio.
Yeah.
And I was just in this fucking thing, right?
And you were listening to it while you were making bagels.
While I was making bagels. Yeah. Listening to Puffy.
Thinking one day I'll be in the East Village.
Yeah.
I won't make bagels forever.
Yeah.
But it was pretty crazy. Have you ever seen how they make bagels?
Podcast.
Yeah, it's like the dough, and then they do it. They put them in a pot, right? They like boil them, flash boil them, and then put them in the oven.
You take them out of the box, they're frozen. You put them in the oven, and then they're done.
You find a Jew,
right?
You say, Moisha, make these. No, it's exactly that's the process. You boil them first, and then but there's these huge, you know, brick ovens that spin.
Yeah,
you know. And if you want to think of the worst death in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, get put into a fucking brick oven.
That's why the Jews make bagels. It's reminiscent.
It's role reversal.
Yeah.
There was that fake
you'll
story.
See, you'll pay bagels.
There was that.
Look, they're screaming.
I got another survivor.
Survivor. Check all the bagels for gold teeth before we sell them.
There was that fake story on Facebook. ISIS 250 Christian children kneaded to death in bread machines.
Yes, that wasn't real. That was real.
Was that real?
I thought it was a fake story. I thought it was a fake story.
They were kneaded to death in bread. First of all,
I thought it was a fake story.
That's hilarious.
I laughed a lot.
Me too.
Like, oh, there's no way it's real.
Right, there's no
Everyone,
way.
Everyone, come around. Let's laugh at these Christian children.
And wait a minute.
That were kneaded
was
to death.
Was that not...
ISIS attack in the village of Pillsbury.
What if we, because we don't really know anything other than the
our
media.
Our trees. They're taking our trees. What?
I would love it.
How about Aaron also didn't have to change his voice for that?
I mean, we don't know what's true and what's not true. I would love it if we went to Syria and ISIS was just like a regular, very calm and legitimate group of people.
They're like the guardian angels.
Yeah, they're in suits.
No, yeah, you know? they're more like gay Miami people.
They're
hanging out, having
fun.
Now.
Oh, we've got the wrong idea. We're being fed a lot of shit over there.
We love everybody. They're all bisexual. They start making out with each other. Look, I'm proud of you, man. She's got lots of money and fruit. Like, you want to dance? Let's dance. Yeah.
That's so funny.
No, yeah, dude. So, but no, they were fucking needing children. I looked that shit up. That was very real. They're throwing babies and 3-year-old children in front of their parents into bread kneading machines and fucking, you know.
It says first of all, on Snopes unproven.
Yeah, of course.
No.
Well, Snopes is its own. Snopes is kind of bullshit.
Can you Snopes? Is that it? Fuck Snopes.
Right, straight up.
It's just another fucking straight website.
Up. But here's the other thing.
Cocksucking Snopes.
How many bread kneading machines are there in like how? What? How many bakeries are there in the Middle East?
Pull up a bread kneading machine. I want to see what it even looks like.
I thought they had like I thought they made like flatbread. Like what?
They
is,
fuck up pizza. I'll tell you that. You ever have fucking Palestinian pizza? They put sesame seeds
it's
on the
fucking,
crust.
It's the water in Palestine. It's all full of shit and disease. So it tastes like
Jew blood. Is this pepperoni? No, it is the nipple of a Jew.
Oh, come on, dude. Just a slow death. I feel like
Now, do you think ISIS is sitting around like with ideas going, we've done the flame cage.
Yeah.
What's next? And then like they throw out ideas.
Oh, did you see the young girl practice beheading on a doll? That's a great one. Shannon, can you bring me that up?
I'd love to see
young
that.
Young Muzzy. Type in Muzzy. Young Muzzy girl.
Practices beheading
on a doll.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, that's what ISIS goes. Video. We've done the beheading with the rusty knife.
Yeah.
What are we going to do next? And somebody goes, bread machine.
Yeah.
And somebody else goes,
no, it's impossible. Yeah. It will not work. Yeah. Why are they Russian?
I'm telling you.
Warning. The following footage is explicit. It's a doll.
Here she comes.
It's not explicit.
Watch.
State of Islam attack and defeat, it says. The religion of heresy and the gang of the military. Until terror exterminated the leftover remnants of the army and slaughter.
That's Karen Feehan. This is insane.
Oh, here it comes. Malachele, malachele. Soon you shall witness wonders. He's cutting a baby's head off. He's a kid.
I kind of like the ISIS music. Am I the only one who...
The Shame On podcast has gotten really out of control. I gotta be honest.
Shannon, throw on the ISIS theme. It's pretty fucking hot, dude. It's kind of a dope theme.
Did they choose it?
That's their theme, dude. It's their shit. I don't know what the song is.
You love branding.
I really
do. You're like, ISIS got a great theme. They got great stickers.
Ooh. Ooh. Have you not heard this?
No.
You lost me at no English. That's where you lost me.
Lewis, can you come out to this at Skankfest?
You're
100%.
Listening, you're listening to ISIS Cast on Earwolf. Please like, subscribe, rate, review.
Please go to iTunes right now. It really helps show.
Yeah.
It does so good for show the ratings. Tell your friends. That is all I need.
Oopsie, I slipped on the blood of a goat.
We will be doing a live bread machine kneading podcast later in year.
You come out, if you buy T-shirt, you do not have to pay admission.
Gotcha's a bundle. This is Poughkeepsie.
This is such good. A great song.
This is Talking ISIS. I'm Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. Talking ISIS.
Dum-ba-dum-ba-da. I like it, dude. I really.
I hear this in my cabs
it's
all the time,
common, dude. I want to cut off the head
Middle
of a Jew reporter right
they
now.
They're so nuts because they don't have roast battle, and if they could roast each other, they wouldn't be beheading each other. Like if they could just insult each other
like
in a fun
Jeff
way.
Says, I wish we could solve all the world's problems this way.
Yeah, it's true. Just fucking at least
Do some verbal violence.
Is that how Jeff talks?
Yeah.
Is he nasally?
I love how Zach will trash anybody except Jeff Ross. You see him?
Yeah. He gets so scared. Yeah.
But what? That's weird. Yeah. That's weird you would say that. You fucking climber asshole faggot. Make me sick, Zach. Even you sold out, you piece of shit.
Still quiet.
I sell out, baby. I bought in.
All right. So here's the deal, right? You were, Tim, the thing that I like about you, you did subprime mortgage sales. And I don't actually, we've talked about it before, I don't really understand what that is even on any level. I don't know what a subprime mortgage is.
So here's
can I make a guess as someone that knows nothing about the business? Yeah. I'm going to guess that these mortgages, there's a thing called a prime rate. I'm going to guess what Tim did was below prime rate. So
here's what it essentially is. Somebody says the Gomez's should own a home.
No one's ever said that.
No one has yet, but somebody said that. Somebody goes, the Gomez's should own a home. You're a single mom, low income, and you know, I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying that's your economic position.
This is when I'm a kid or me personally?
No, your mom. I'm talking about your mom.
When I was a kid.
She's a single mother, right? And she probably doesn't have a great job.
Right.
Okay. So basically,
Welfare.
Somebody in the government says, we got to try to get people to own homes because the people that own homes are happier, they create wealth, they're able to pass them down to their kids.
Yes.
We got to do that. So the government comes out with this thing called the Community Reinvestment Act and goes, we're going to pressure lenders and go, you got to start lending to minorities, to poor people, to rural families. You got to start doing this stuff because it is so that's all lenders need, because lenders are fucking Wall Street evil demons that go, oh, great. So as soon as that door's open a little bit, the government cracks the door.
So basically they created a policy which enabled poor people to get some sort of loan.
Well, they just went to the banks and said, why don't you guys figure out a way to start expanding your product line?
So poor people can afford to buy a home. Basically, they're stimulating the economy. They're going to be there. If you have if you own a home, you're more likely to gonna go to work. You're more likely gonna be responsible, pay your taxes.
Absolutely.
You have, this is what I say, you know, chips on the table. This is why Dave Smith has an entire franchise built around him with no chips on the table.
Right.
He has nothing. He has no family. He has no fuck. He doesn't own a home. He's a fucking dude floating throughout life.
Yeah.
And I think that your perspective on the world gets very, you get, and look, I don't know if it's good or bad. It's probably better for him, right? Because he has a very honest, outward perspective looking in, right?
Right.
But once you have chips on the table, you own a home, you start making decisions based off of that.
Yeah.
Fuck everything else. So, that is the most important thing.
So,
but anyway, go.
So then, essentially, then you had banks, and now banks are now going to try to find a way to qualify people for loans that wouldn't have qualified. So at one point, you had to put 20% down payment on a house. So you'd have to have that money sitting in a bank account. Well, banks, this isn't going to work now because it's very hard to save money and poor people don't have a lot of reserves. So then the banks go, okay, well, listen, we're willing to finance 100% of the transaction. We're going to lend you the entire thing. So
now, based off of, and the government saying, we're going to insure.
Yeah, the government goes, well, you know.
And worst case scenario, if those people fuck up, we'll take the house and deal with the default. The government will come in and.
Right, well, the government backs all of these banks anyway. You have FDIC insurance that backs all of these banks.
The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Yeah, so thank you, sixth grade.
Yeah, so basically what banks start doing is they start coming up with these. They start coming up with these exotic.
It was the greatest year of my life.
Yeah, 24. These exotic loan products. Some of the loan products would be like stated income, meaning we don't want to see your W-2s because then we can't give you this loan. Just tell us what you make. Literally, that Perfect. Was stated income. State your income. Yeah. I make $70,000 a year. Okay.
They do that a lot still. They
now they have to check. Now they will look at your W-2s.
There's loans where you could apply for where you're just fucking stating your income. I'm telling you.
They're very few and far between, and you have to have a lot of equity.
I literally did it and got
approved for a house. Not to buy a house.
No.
I'm talking about they would hand you $500,000 based on you just filling out a loan application and saying, I run a podcast network. I make $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
And they'd go, okay. And then they would do just a verification of employment. They'd call up Ralph. They go, does he really own the network? And Ralph would go, yeah. And then that would be it. And then they'd lend you $500,000. So basically, they had all of these programs. All of these people that never should have owned homes are being qualified to own homes. And then the value of homes now skyrockets because you've created this demand that wasn't there.
Everyone can get a home.
Everybody can get a home. So supply is being eaten off the market. How's it? So that means the prices are going up. More people want homes. There are less homes. The prices are going up. Builders get in the mix. They start building homes. So all of a sudden, nobody's noticing because every time, for example, then you take these adjustable rate mortgages. They go, we'll qualify you at a lower rate for like 2 years. We'll give you a 4%. But after 2 years, it's going to go up to like 6 or 7%.
All right, we're getting very heavy. So hold on. Yeah. All right, slow down. Let's because it's very thick. We're in the thick of it, okay? Make it a little more palpable for the people at home, okay? Yeah. Simple as this. I'm kind of getting it, right? Poor people got homes. Eventually, they were no longer able to afford those homes.
Correct.
Your job was to come in and say, hey, poor people, I'm going to buy those homes.
No. My job as a subprime mortgage broker is basically to sell you another mortgage or sell you the first mortgage, whatever it is. So let's say you take a loan, and it's most mortgages are based on a 30-year term. So you pay back the loan over 30 years. A fixed rate mortgage means that that rate you pay doesn't change for 30 years.
Okay.
We did not sell fixed rate mortgages.
Well, so let's move forward though. Okay. Yeah. So your job basically was, so your lead was a poor person and you were trying to take advantage of it.
Not always a poor person. It could have been middle income. It could have been anybody. That's another misnomer. It was not just poor people.
Why?
It's a guy making 150 grand a year who wants to live in a $2 million house.
Yeah. Okay.
Why doesn't he want a fucking pool and a fucking, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The really, really poor people, you couldn't do that much for. You had to have some kind of credit. You had to have a job. So so it was a lot of like poor middle class and upper middle class people.
So what was your job though? What did you do?
I would call you up or whoever.
So let's say I'm fucking Louis J. Gomez. I'm making.
I would call. So let's do the call right now. Hi, hey, Mr. Gomez, Tim Dillon.
Ring, ring, ring.
Hi. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Louis, how are you? This is Tim Dillon.
What's going on?
How are you?
I work with Franklin Financial. I was calling. We had spoken a while ago. I don't know if you recall regarding the mortgage you were looking to get. Had you ever taken any action?
We spoke. When did we speak?
Yeah, we spoke about 6 months ago. I said I would check back with you. I'm sure you speak to a lot of people. You were looking at potentially refinancing your mortgage. I think you have like a 6.5% rate right now. Something around that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Let me ask you another question, sir. Are you Hispanic? You're Hispanic, right, sir?
I just want to commend you for owning something.
Number one, I am coming to your house with a bag of gold and a map where you can get find an ancient city. You have to sign 70 documents before I give you the map. Does that make sense to you? Do you want to go to El Dorado or not?
So you would call people on bullshit. Like that was you would bullshit them like you had a conversation with them.
Yeah, it's called the back door in. And then the guy, I never spoke to you. I go, listen, you spoke to a lot of people. Can you cut it out?
Yeah, stop playing
insult me. And by the way, I'm going to be...
You're calling them by their first name how many times?
Here's the way we work. We're a direct lender. We're not a broker. I'm a bank. I lend you the money. My underwriter's right up the hall. I'm going to sit down with you in your house. We'll go over all the documents. So, if I can save you money...
We're such bad people.
Does this make sense?
Can I explain to you why? Like, this is the beauty about sales, right? Because it's the exact same thing for every product.
Every product.
I'm our sales guy right now, right?
Every product.
Four Gas Digital. They sell ads for this network, right? You want to know the pitch? You want to know the fucking pitch? John, listen to me. I'm not a middleman. I'm not some company that, you know, that the Gas Digital is coming to. My office is next to the studio right now. As soon as I hang up the phone with you, I'm going to go to Tim Dillon. I'm going to say, hey, Tim Dillon, Hostess wants to work with you. Tim, how do you feel about Hostess?
Yeah.
You love, that's Tim right now. Yeah. He loves you guys.
All right.
But I mean, it's the same exact.
It's the same product.
Same exact fucking process.
And you try to set the meeting. It's all about setting a meeting. Let me come to your house.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to sign on the line, which is dotted, because I'm sitting at your kitchen table and I'm like, listen, I'm here. Look at me. I'm going to do the right. I got a tie on. I'm going to do the right thing here. What are you going to do? You're going to go shop around? You're going to deal with fucking Chase and Wells Fargo? Their underwriters are in Texas. You don't know
what the
fuck's happening.
There's something about the
physical. I'm in your house.
Well,
I'm
this is why a lot
you.
In this industry too, because we do sell ads for the network, and we do a lot of other things in terms of the sales realm. It all lives in the digital space, and all of these companies that you work with, you have to submit a ticket, and then they. You know, you get an automated response, and they say, we'll get back to you within 48 hours, and then somebody hits you back, and you're never dealing with any type of
human
interaction.
You call these people back, you sold the mortgage to you 8 months later, see maybe if you can refinance them again, and you go, hey, how are you? It's Tim. My kids are on the street! I'm dying! All right, well, I just want to let you know, I sent you a Christmas card. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Did you get the Christmas card I sent you? I'm dying! You lied! We're on the street! My son is on the street! Well,
I'll talk to you later, Miss Gomez.
Prostituting myself. Well,
talk to you later, Miss Gomez.
Keep me in mind if you know anyone that's looking for a loan. Goodbye.
But it's
you can't make everybody. You're always listen. Here's the thing in sales. You're always the dick. No one's ever going to like you. If you sell a mortgage, you're selling a debt. Nobody's ever going to go back. Yeah. No matter what, how good you take care of them, you're never going to be the fucking good guy. You sell a cell phone, people like you because they get a toy.
Yeah.
They get a toy. You sell a fucking mortgage, you're selling a debt. Nobody likes the guy who sells a debt.
Well, that's the thing about sales, right? Because there's always this big debate in the world. Are sales like evil or is like beautiful? I think
it's beautiful.
I think it's beautiful.
It's absolutely
beautiful. I think there's something that I truly... I don't know.
Well, you're being sold.
Selling you a debt, but you're getting something, but it always seems to me like a debt. Like, I nickel and dime like crazy in those places.
Car dealerships get a bad reputation. Belly-to-belly sales, as Joey Diaz refers to it as, which means belly-to-belly sales means you are walking up to somebody, having a conversation. You know, it's not I guess appointment setting is kind of belly-to-belly, but it's not really. Like, I'm talking about you walk into my showroom, you walk into the gym, you know what I'm saying? Right. I used to sell comedy club tickets on the street. You're walking down the street. That's like, that is super concentrated belly-to-belly sales, you know? Yeah. And there's something about that is very sleazy, and anybody that is a little bit smart or savvy, anybody who's lived in a big city, dealt with real personalities, dealt with sleazy people, dealt with multiple types of personalities, you pick up on the fact that you're being sold. For me, though, and I apologize to cut you off, Tim, but for me, when somebody's really good at that sales process, I recognize it, and I go, oh, shit, I want to see what they do. And if they're really good, I will work with them because of that.
Salesmen are easily sold.
Yes.
So salesmen are easily sold.
By good salesmen. Only by good salespeople.
I've watched great, and I was never great at it. I was like, okay, it was whatever. I've watched great salesmen. Here's the difference between great salesmen and good salesmen. Good salesmen talk a lot. Great salesmen talk a little.
Yep.
They don't talk. They let you talk. They will be comfortable with any amount of silence. They'll stare at you. They will let you talk. They will let you have a breakdown and start crying. It doesn't matter.
If they cry, they buy.
100%. So they just let
them. That's a fucking phrase in sales,
bitches.
I sat
in a room.
That's a fucking real phrase in sales.
I sat in a room.
If they cry, they buy.
I watched a guy.
And I'll tell you why. Yeah. I want you to tell the story. But it's an emotional trigger. If you could find the emotional trigger, right? I'm sitting there in my gym office selling Equinox memberships for $200 a pop, right?
Yeah.
I start talking to you, right? Yeah, I'm going to try to sell you a membership. You're in great shape, obviously, you know. But in my mind, what do I see immediately, right? I start talking to you. I see this guy's he's ripped. He's in great shape. Personal training. He needs to go to the next fucking level. This guy knows what he's doing, but he needs an expert, a coach, to sit there and watch him from the outside and find fucking everything. So immediately I recognize that. Before he even sits down, I'm going like, all right, there's a huge opportunity, $10,000, $20,000 here, right? Immediately. He's already buying an Equinox membership. He's spending $200 a month. Fitness is important to him. Money's not really an object to these people, right? So that's a thing right there. Then I start talking to him, find out that his fucking wife is pregnant. He's got a daughter, right? Oh, shit. Well, now I'm talking about his daughter getting married and going to college and fucking how long he wants to extend his life and about how all of the other things and about how valuable that is compared to everything else in the world.
Yeah.
And if I can make this motherfucker cry in my office, he's going to suck my dick.
Right.
That's it.
There's two reasons that people don't buy things. There's only two reasons why people don't
buy. Sucking Lewis's dick.
Yeah.
That's which is also one. If you cry, you buy situation.
Yeah, you cry, you buy. But there's two reasons. One is price. That's the big one. I think it's too expensive. And the other reason is always a personal reason.
Yeah.
Price you overcome by going, what are you comparing it to? And they go, well, I was told I could get this. And then you just knock that and you go, well, here's why you don't get this. Or here's why you don't even want that.
Yeah.
Here's why that doesn't apply to you. And then the other reason is deeply personal. They're afraid. They don't want to sell their house because they're afraid that they'll never have another home. Or so she got to hold their hand through that emotional bullshit so that you can fucking get them back on the fucking hook.
And then it's also, you know, it's about recognizing the moment when they are hooked. And you said that before about like good
salesmen.
And they
said the hook is when they start asking questions.
Good.
So as soon as they get on the hook, they start going like this. All right, you know, let's, because they always want to guard themselves. So they go, okay, let's say we did this. When could we get it done by?
Yeah.
When would I have the money? So they start asking those leading
questions.
You're in.
And at that point, here's what bad salesmen do.
Yes.
They ask a question, and then they start going into the fucking details. And they talk themselves into a corner.
Right.
I watch Christine do this. We're booking Skankfest right now. There's a fucking, what a shitty salesperson Christine is.
She is not a salesperson.
Oof.
She's
incredible. She's a great producer. She's a great person to have on the team. But as a salesperson, I close a fucking, one of the biggest acts that are going to be on the festival that we're announcing tonight.
Right.
Aaron Berg. I close them. So he literally says, hey, email my manager. I'm in. Just do this. Email my manager this. You know, he's loves the idea, everything. So she fucking emails a manager and just starts asking all these questions about availability and is this okay? Is that okay? I'm like, Christine, he is sold. It's it. Hey, just letting you know, Lewis spoke to this guy. You know, we're locked up on this date. Tell him. Done. Yeah. Send it out. You're done. Don't ask any more questions.
Yeah.
You know, another one, the image for Ronnie Bennington.
Yeah.
We got to put it out last night. She was like, oh, yeah, I sent him an email asking if it was okay to put it out. I was like, I'm not asking. If they're confirmed for the festival, we can announce you. Cool.
Right.
We don't need another barrier in the way.
Assume the close. Baby.
And it's bad. It's a bad sales. I literally told her this. I had a conversation. I was like, let me give you a sales lesson right now. Yeah. When they're done, they're done. When they're closed, they're closed. The next person that fucking talks usually loses. You're going to talk yourself out of the fucking sale.
Out of money.
That's it. You're going to talk yourself out of it because you're going to put more and more barriers between you actually getting the money.
And bad salesmen lie a lot, and some of them are very funny. There was this guy, Howie, I used to work with, who would lie. And I mean, he would lie to a point where, like, closing it, when you close a mortgage, you have to have a lawyer there who goes
every time he closed a sale, he would blow up a rubber glove on his head.
Well, the closing attorney would go, they would call the company and go, I don't really feel comfortable sitting next to Howie because he's lying to people. So people would go, like, you know, you have APR, which means annualized percentage rate. So it's like, that's the rate you pay with all the bank fees kind of rolled into it, you know?
Yeah.
So a guy would go to Howie, he'd go, what's the APR? And Howie would go, oh, that's the average person rate. Because you're better than average, you get a lower rate than that.
I love it.
The guy would go, oh, okay. The attorney would be like, you can't say that. And I'd be like, shut the fuck up. You're there to stamp the papers, you know? Howie was like a lunatic.
Howie was a closer, though.
He was out of his mind.
Howie was a closer. I guarantee Howie made some fucking dough,
he did
right?
Make some money.
I'm not saying that.
We were closing a loan once for an old guy. This guy was fleecing his dad out of equity in the house. He wanted to go to Miami and start a car wash. His father was almost dead. His dad was just like signing the papers. He could barely move. And the closing attorney looks at him and goes, I'm very uncomfortable with this. And the son looks at his father and goes, keep signing, daddy. It's almost over. It's almost over, daddy. Keep signing. And the lady goes to me, she goes, I think we'll all get in a lot of trouble for this. I said, we might.
I love it. Yeah, that's the thing. We've all done those shitty sales jobs too.
Well, it's like this is where
you're ripping people off. And that's the cool part. Eventually, right? And this is what we do. And I try to apply all these sales philosophies.
I took a subprime mortgage and bought a house and lost a house. I did it to myself.
We do the shitty sales jobs, and eventually we become the business that we're kind of opening and selling, and that's what I'm doing right now with Guest Digital Skankfest. You know, we are something that really stuck out with me when I worked at Equinox, which is it really was a great job. But people hate, you know, their older jobs, but I learned so much in that 2-year period. I made great money. I fucking got in great shape. It was a cool, very positive experience in my life. But on the first day, they do a 9-day sales training program, really intensive, 8-hour days.
Yeah.
For a fucking gym job, dude.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing this shit, dude. I'm talking about, like, literally they pay you a salary to go to
Well, it's not
this.
A gym. It's a lifestyle.
It's true. But they actually said in the first day of training, it's not a gym. They didn't say it's a lifestyle. They said, we're a fucking sales company.
Right.
And the guy, he was this little gay guy named Chris Uziak.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker was a monster salesperson. I'm talking about this guy.
Get them to sign on the line, which is dotted.
Watch this, Lewis. Do you like dick? Say no. Say no. Say no. In 8 days, I will be balls deep in this Spaniard, and you're all going to say, wow, Chris, Yeski, I work. Thank you. Day one done, bitches. Go to Chopped and fucking eat something. You're all fat.
Come is for closers.
That's great.
ABC, assholes, boners, and cum. Get ready, bitches.
Lewis, show me your asshole. Day three, bitches, I told you. Balls deep. 4.5 inches of dirty Jew just entered the Spaniard SS.
This guy.
Just entered the Spaniard SS.
This guy was fucking from head to toe, like dressed like $1 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he went into this, you know, this training program was like super intense. So you would think we were like a fucking like a bank or something. And he said on day one, he said, we're not a fitness company. We're a fucking sales company. And we, like, you're going to see, he was like, what we are is we create leads, we sell them, we close them, we sell them ancillary products on top of it. We sell them personal training. We turn them into, you know, $1 million members. The whole process there is to get people to spend absolutely as much money as possible. But why I say it's a great company is because quality was it was almost like an afterthought where they go, of course we're going to be the best.
Right.
We're going to have the best equipment, the cleanest shit. We're going to make people go, it's not even a debate. There's nobody that's even close to us in terms of the quality that we're offering.
Yeah.
And that's something that I went, I was like, wow, you can fucking be a relentless, cocksucking, brutal salesman.
Yeah.
But if you have the product.
Yeah.
And you have something that you truly can believe in, it's really fucking, like Skankfest is fucking pure. Gas Digital, what we're trying to do here.
It's on, good. It's great.
It's a legitimately good thing in what we're doing for everybody involved, the comedians, the producers.
Yeah.
Everybody involved, we try to take care of, and we're trying to grow this thing and make it into something very special and unique. That was very telling to me, and I was like, wow, that's fucking great. And then you can be, I can look at a person who maybe they go, hey, you know what, I'm fucking, you know, maybe I'm not really rich, you know, but I don't know if I could afford personal training, you know, I'm thinking about this, and they're worried about money, and I can go, fuck you, dude, you're gonna change your life by coming in and spending $10,000 more right now, and I could really believe that and go, that will actually change your life, truthfully. You know what I'm saying? What's more valuable to you, watching your daughter graduate college or fucking going on vacation to Cabo this year? Mm-hmm. You know, so what is it? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Pick one. You get to, you know, if you can only afford one, pick one. So when
I'm going to Cabo.
I love Cabo. My daughter's wonderful. Kind of a cunt.
It's like Mexico, but America.
Yeah, that was a real, you should have did it better. Yeah. You know, you got to do a better fucking question.
That was a great place.
Do you want to go to paradise or watch that fat cunt you gave birth to get a gender studies degree?
I saw this comedian talk about doing blow on the beach in Cabo. I love the bit. I'm going to go to Cabo. My wife can take care of my daughter. Come to think about it, I don't think I'm taking my wife to Cabo. I'm outie.
All right. Fuck you guys.
Well, it is what it is.
We get it.
All right. I want to talk about this really quick. I don't want to spend too much time on this. But I feel like I have to respond to Gavin McInnes. This is your network brother.
Yeah.
My former network brother. Who
I haven't talked to him since, you know, Gavin and I, last year I gave him and his kids some tickets to go to a Mets game.
Cool.
Very nice of me. I did that for you and your son as well. That's, you know, I don't talk to Gavin a lot. I mean, I remember him showing up at the stand, pulling his dick out,
he's always been very nice to me. I've been on his show twice. Yeah, he's been nice to me.
I think he's very extreme. I think he's a provocateur, but that's
no, I'll preface it by saying right now, I'm a fan of Gavin's. I like Gavin. So, this is actually, you know, and I'll get into it, but that's actually why I would even talk about this, because it's not somebody that I go like, oh, well, fuck that guy. You know, it's somebody that I kind of like, I kind of respect what he does in a weird way. I disagree with, you know, 70% of what Gavin says.
Right.
But I respect his right to do it. And I believe what he does gives us as comedians and entertainers and people in radio and broadcasting an opportunity to go to some pretty fucking cool places and take things pretty far.
I appreciate his pro free speech. Angle
of course.
I think that a lot of our community, by the way, he's not pro-free speech.
No, they're not at all.
And it is
the opposite.
Disgusting.
Yeah. So, Shannon, did you get my coffee? Or no, you didn't?
It's making it?
Thank you, darling. Appreciate it. So, here's the deal, right? I don't even want to get into the specifics, because I'm not a gossipy fucking queef. I don't even want to get into the specifics about the other players involved in this thing, right? So I'm just going to keep it as me and Gavin, and I'll say these other people, right? But, you know, Gavin... From my perspective, this is what I had heard. I got a bunch of text messages from comedian friends of mine, and they were like, dude, and I know Dave got some too. I know Dante got some as well. They were like, what the fuck, dude? Your boy Gavin just went over to the cellar with a gentleman who is known in the comedy community as somebody who beat up and raped another comic.
Oh, my God.
Could be
really?
Anyone. Could be anyone.
I'm not going to say the name, but he went.
And the reason I won't say the name, I want to make
with
it.
With the LA guy?
Yes.
Ooh.
The reason I want to make it very
this
clear.
This is insane.
Let me say this. The reason I want to make this very clear, that I'm not saying his name or anybody other's names involved. Anybody because it's others. None of my fucking business.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I've talked about that specific case on these shows.
Yeah.
I don't like being a gossipy fucking pussy,
okay?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not going to say this. I don't want to spread rumors about this guy did this. I don't know what the fuck happened, right?
Gotcha.
I don't know. She says he did this. This guy says he didn't. The truth is, in most of these situations, if I step back and don't know anybody, and I don't know these people, it's somewhere in the middle. Typically, it falls somewhere in the middle, the truth, right? The girl that this guy had supposedly beaten up and raped is a good buddy of mine and a comedian friend of ours. One of the nicest guys in comedy. One of the sweetest guys in the world, right?
Do you mean the boyfriend of the girl?
The guy that now. The guy that...
is dating this girl.
The girl that got raped is currently dating a friend of mine.
Right, right. Right.
So,
yeah.
I'm sorry if this is getting fucking confusing. I get this text. Gavin's going over to the cellar with this guy while my buddy, who's a comedian, is on stage. You know, I think Gavin says the fucking name, so let's stop making this confusing. It's Sam, okay? Sam's on stage at the Cellar, and Gavin and this other guy go over. This is just what I'm hearing. They went over there and are either heckling or fucking with Sam while he's on stage, whatever it is. They got kicked out of the Cellar.
Of course. Okay?
So this is what I hear, okay? Now, Gavin's a person who I associate with. It's somebody who I see fairly regularly. You know, we don't do each other's shows that often, but once in a while, he'll come on Skanks. I'll go on his show. Done Red Eye together. We cross paths a lot, and we're, you know, fairly friendly. We're cool.
You know,
we'd go have a beer, you know, together.
Right.
So I was like, what the fuck, dude? I was like, shit, that's weird. So I just called Gavin.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, for me, that's what I do. I don't need to fucking gossip and be a fucking, you know.
Right, right.
I just called Gavin. I'm like, dude, or actually I texted him first. I was like, what happened, dude? I was like, you went over to the Cellar with this guy? And I was like, he was like, no, this guy wanted to go there and he's my boy. So I had his back and a few of us followed with him. So I was like, okay, that's kind of worse.
You're going looking for a problem. Yeah.
Now this guy, you're telling me this guy's going to a place that I work, a lot of your friends work, your associates work, to fight a guy or to do something to this guy because this Sam apparently ruined his life by naming him publicly for doing this to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's why the guy's mad, because Sam apparently came out and was the first person to use his name publicly.
Gotcha.
But his name was coming out, dude. Everyone knew who it was. In the comedy community, it spreads like wildfire. But he wants to, you know, he wants to put a face to, you know, the situation. And by the way, if he did not rape and beat this girl, I kind of get the anger. I kind of get him being upset.
But he's been accused, by other girl.
I don't know, though. So I can't comment on that because it's none of my business, and I truly don't know about any of that. But I can comment on what I know, you know? Right. So he's very upset. You know, he goes over there, and Gavin follows. And I was like, well, that's worse. So I just call Gavin. I was like, Gavin, what are you doing with... You know, go and bring this guy. He was like, well, no. He was like, dude, you would do the same thing. You know, if one of your boys was going to go and maybe get into some shit with somebody, you would follow him. And I was like, yes, on the surface, if you break it down that way. He was like, oh, if Dave Smith was going to go into a fight with somebody, you wouldn't get his back? I was like, all right, you're naming my brother. You're naming a guy who's like, who watches my fucking kid, who is my part of my blood. Like, not my blood, but like my family, my blood. So it's a little different. Dave could throw a rock at a fucking priest, and I'm just going to get his back. That's just what I'd do. He probably did. But that's, you know, as my brother, that's what I would do for him, right? So it's a little different. It's a little more nuanced. If Dave was going to go to a place that I worked that he didn't and start shit with somebody that was, you know, I'm friendly with, I would go, dude, don't do that. And if he didn't give a fuck, if he said, dude, I don't care, I'm going anyway, and I don't care that I'm making it weird for you because you have associates there and you work at this place or you associate with people there,
right?
I would say, well, then, dude, go by yourself then. I'm not going to fucking get your back if you don't give a fuck that you're making my relationships weird.
Right.
And that's when I tried to articulate to Gavin. I'm like, dude, I was like, at that point, you should have said to him, hey, dude, I know comics over there. I'm friendly with a lot of people. It's going to be a weird thing.
Yeah.
And then Gavin goes into, I don't give a fuck. Comics are pussies. You guys are just fucking cucks and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, dude, why are we even having this conversation? I don't care, dude. I was like, do what you got to do. I can't associate with a person who's going to show up at places that I work and threaten to jump people that I'm friends with.
Well, what is a guy with a wife and kids kind of doing, behaving like this? Like, who's doing this?
I don't fucking know. He wants to be this rebel.
Why is he involved with, like, this dude, and this is a whole thing that has nothing to do with him, like...
This is the problem. He had the guy on the show in the first place
because
he does the men's rights activist Proud Boy troll thing.
And
that's fine, dude, but it's like, come on, dude. Gavin, don't call comedians a cuck. Comedians come from every fucking wake of life, black, white, poor, rich, lawyers, fucking crackheads. I mean, everywhere. If you're on a political side and you just take a political stance blindly every single time, that's much more of a cuck fucking attitude, okay? Yeah. You bring a dude on that you... Gavin, you also don't know if this guy did this. You know as much as I know. You know what this guy told you, so you know as much as anybody, and you're giving him a platform.
So what happens? They get kicked out of the Cellar.
They kicked out of the Cellar, and now this guy's been showing up to different shows at Sam's.
I was the next night at New York Comedy Club, and I saw Sam, and Sam's all sketched out, and he goes... Was that just him? Did he just walk by? I'm like, I don't know who this guy
is. So the guy is hunting Sam?
Let's play some of Gavin's video because Gavin, just play the, I want to pull it up for a second. I want to show you what Gavin looks like in this video because he's wearing a fucking dress.
He's dressed as me.
Yeah. I really think Gavin's funny. He's such a fucking psycho. The whole week he's dressing up as a woman.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to have a man call you a cuck while he's dressed up as a woman. You're like, but he's funny. I like Gavin. Go ahead. Yeah, but just play. We can watch the video.
He does funny things.
We can watch the video, but play, just play the audio for the people listening. Because I'll tell you why. Because Anthony Cumia has a service that they charge for.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you want to go watch the video, go pay for the video. Right. You know, I don't want to.
I'm going to blow my head off at the end of the show with a rifle, just as a testament to him. Okay, so gossip. Let's get caught up on some goss. So I got this call from Luis J. Gomez last night. And by the way, you are all fucking fags. You love gossiping way more than me. Jimmy Norton's here on Thursday, and they go, hey, Gavin said you're lying about fucking trannies. And then I got a weird thing with Jim. Thanks, fags, tattletales. You know when my kids do that? I don't care what the thing that is being tattled, I don't punish them. So that they could say, yeah, Duncan just stole $100 and stabbed some lady on the street and she's dead and he stole a car. I go, don't tattle. And I would let the crimes go. I never said he doesn't fuck trannies. I said, seems like a phase to me. Yeah. It's a phase you would do as a young man. You and Patrice would go to Brazil and fuck trannies, whatever. But then you'd go, all right, I'm done with that. Sort of like lesbian until graduation.
It's fine, Shannon.
Lugs. I was wrong. He fucks more trannies now than before. Okay.
Speaking of fucking trannies, Luis J. Gomez.
Pussies. But anyway, speaking of gossip, and I know this is going to go straight to him, so I'm going to phrase it carefully. Luis J. Gomez calls me and he's like, what the fuck, dude? What the fuck?
That's pretty good.
So we go out. Lucian did a talk. I went to see Charles Murray on Thursday night, the guy who wrote Coming Apart and The Bell Curve and The Curmudgeon's Guide to Getting Ahead and a lot of our other Bibles. So I didn't go to see Lucian's show at NYU. I heard it was terrible. I heard he was shit-faced, and he just babbled about going to a liberal school. And then Sal is sitting in the front, and this is in type. You can see this in print.
All right, I want to hear
it. Sal goes, ship it! And Lucian goes, what? He goes, ship the flask! That's what Sal said from the audience. So Lucian goes, oh, yeah, the flask, and throws it to Sal.
Lucian. The fuck are these people?
I don't know.
South, they're having a swig. They're all wasted.
He's got to fill it 2 hours by himself.
Anyway, I get back there and they're fucking totaled. Ryan Katsu is pouring salt out on the table and writing bad words with it and making it into pussies and then pretending to snort it. And they're yelling at the waitresses, which I don't approve of. And then Kale goes, hey, Sam Morrill's playing around the corner. I'm going to go say hi. And I go, uh-oh. Now, we don't know what Kale's motives are. It could be just to shake his hand and say, I want bygones to be bygones, or it could be to punch him in the face. I don't know. I do know that Sam is the one who outed Kale while that rumor was going around and basically ruined his life. Now, as a bro, what do? You have to go with him. Sorry. So we go there. Sam sees me and I think Kale, and then the bouncers escort Kale out. And I think Kale was like, hey, man, on the way out or something. And that was the end of that. Now, to Lewis, he goes, dude, this is our place of work. You brought Kale there to fuck people up? We can't have comedians on the show. I don't think I can come on your show. I don't think you can come on Legion of...
Didn't say that. Didn't say that. I don't think I can come on your show. I didn't preface it with that. I said, hey, dude, you're making it weird for comics to associate with you.
Right.
You're making it weird. You're making comics choose, do I go on Gavin McGinnis's show once every 2 months... Or do I work at these places? Because no booker or no club owner has ever come up to us being like, you can't associate with Gavin, you know, but I'm not going to risk it, dude. It's not worth it, especially if you're telling me I don't give a fuck. Comedians are cocks. You guys are pussies. You're so worried about your fucking jobs. Like, yeah, dude, I'm worried about my jobs. Yeah, that's how I make money. That's how I feed my kid. The relationships that I build in this industry are super important, and it has to be worth it. It has to be worth it. Believe me, I've burned a lot of fucking bridges. I've walked away from plenty of comedy clubs. Yeah. There's not many comedians that are publicly shitting on comedy clubs or bookers. I'm one of the guys, if somebody really does something wrong, I will go, fuck it. I never want to work with that person again.
Well,
That's what I did with Hop and Ridge Hill. Yeah. I did it with fucking, who was it in the city?
You don't need Luis J. Gomez. I am better booker. Let me take over. Hang on 1 second. Let me just play this out for you. Roy, you are a man of high...
I don't even consider that a fucking a comedy club.
Now, Luis, tell you these comedians need 75 to... What? 75? Let me tell you right now, okay? I am very experienced booker for many years. I operate Comedy Cellar. Not exactly, but 2 blocks down the street, I would book a open mic at Greenwich Village. Many people come. They would go see the famous Amos Scummer, that David Attell. They would would go see these famous people. They would say, where is Amy Schumer and David Attell? I say, why would you go see Amy Schumer and David Attell when you have very two similar comedians? This is Sheba Mason. Sheba Mason do exact same comedy as Amy Schumer. And look, Dave Attell, you like edgy, you like Jewish, you like in your face. Meet Alan Fuchs. This is me. I bring it to you. I bring the heat. I bring the zim zam. All right. Don't book $75, Roy. I'm telling you, this comedian will work for free. I have one guy was best comedian in Saskatchewan. He's going to work for free for you. He will tell everybody you like. You pay one $20 spot. That's
let's
all.
Let's go to more Gavin here.
Skanks. And I go, A, I didn't bring Kale there. I just followed him, which is what you're supposed to do when you're a bro. B, we don't know what his motives were. They could have been
nice. You're 45 years
C,
old.
C, I don't fucking care. This is what Lewis doesn't get. He thinks comedians aren't losers. They're losers. They're fucking cucks. They're all pussies. Now, I love Dave Smith. I love Lewis. But as far as the rest of them go,
pause for a second.
They have no...
Here's what cuck fucking faggot losers all of us are.
Yeah.
Even Gavin, even me, both of us are going, oh, I love him, though. And he's great, and I'm a really big fan. I got to preface it.
Yeah.
We're both faggots. We both want to just call each other cucks and faggots right now.
Yeah.
But we're also trying to hold back because we're not... I don't actually dislike Gavin, but I really dislike this fucking thing.
I would say that there's a certain archetype of comedian Gavin is talking about.
Yes, I agree.
And I agree there. But I think you can't broad brush, and I'm guilty of it too, when I'm like, I fucking hate comedy, I hate comedians, I say all the time. But I mean, I think there's more diversity in the comedy community than we acknowledge.
Yes. You know? Go to any open mic in the city, it's literally every social class, every race, every type of job, every background, every country. They all come because, dude, it's a very open, low barrier of entry in comedy. And
but I think he's got a tough relationship with comics. Because of what happened at the stand, because of what happened, like he just, for whatever reason.
Well, keep on playing it. He talks about it.
He says he kills.
He talks about it. Go ahead.
No balls. I don't want them on my show. Remember, I used to have comedians on the show? Remember how bad those shows were?
I was great.
They're so scared of saying anything contentious that might hurt their career or be pulled out of context and put in a tweet. I had one comedian say, oh, no, I'm not doing the Comedian Network. It's a, and I quote, free for all over there. Can you believe free for all has become a negative thing? Fuck that. And you listen to old Opie and Anthony with Patrice and Louis C.K. and Jim Norton, and you go, this is when comedy was free. This is when they would just go off on riffs. Remember that dumb bit on Opie and Anthony where they were talking about one sport for all of America, where they just use Ohio as the grounds, and each football team has like 1,000 guys on it, and they have to go 1 mile. It was so stupid and hilarious and offensive. Opie ruined it.
The way he's trying to ingratiate himself with Kumia now, do you not remember when he did this show, he referred to Patrice as that black comic?
Yeah. Yeah, funny. Yeah. I didn't remember that, but look.
He didn't know who Patrice was.
I'm sure.
When
I'm
he
sure.
did the show, not a fucking lifetime ago.
Oh, at Stand Up New York Labs?
Yeah.
He only did it once, yeah.
And he did not know who fucking Patrice was. And now he's trying to act like he like knows this history.
Oh, like, yeah, you know, you're
fuck
right.
That shit.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. And like I said, I'm not shitting on Gavin.
I will.
Zach can. I don't, it's not a thing. I'm just saying, like, we're fucking adults here.
Yeah.
We're not children. You know, we're not showing up at places. And by the way, you know, if Dave Smith got into a thing, yeah, I would get his back. He's my fucking brother. Is this guy Kale your brother, Gavin? Come on, bro. He's a dude you invited onto your show because you knew it was trolling feminists. You knew it was trolling comedians. The only reason why he got on your show was because he was accused of raping a chick. Come on. I'm not saying he even did it.
Yeah.
But let's fucking call a spade here. That's what happened. So don't call me a cuck. I'm a don't call comedians cucks. You have a fucking cause. You let that agenda define you. You sit behind it. And then whatever, anytime anything comes up, whether it's right or left, you always fall on one side of that issue. Okay? So continue playing it. I want to end this bit.
By the way, by bringing in slavery or something. And everyone went, what? But anyway, that was when you could just riff and be stupid and say crazy shit. Now they just sit here going, I don't know, some are like that, but some aren't. You know, you kind of take the crunchy with the smooth. Oh, let's not let 250 million bad Muslim eggs ruin the whole billion bunch. Fuck off. I mean, even Lewis, how many times do I have him on the show? Once a year? I don't think I can come on your show anymore. Okay, bye-bye. one of 700 guests? Fuck. And it's like when I said to him, I go, comedy's easy. He goes, come do it. I slayed, by the way, at the stand.
He plays it.
We're going to show that.
I know. I saw
Let's
it.
Just show
I watched
it.
This already. He doesn't slay.
Can we find it?
He pulls his dick John out.
John definitely
and
still
gets
has
chocolate.
It.
We'll pull that up. Because initially we went, uh-oh, the stand is mad. I don't want to ostracize the stand and comedians and stuff. Yes, I do. I don't like comedians. They're dumb rapists.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Not the most applause I've ever heard in my life.
Also, Aaron Berg had just slayed. Leveled.
Probably because I'm racist.
Hot crowd.
Which is weird because that was kind of racist. That you weren't excited about a racist coming on the stage. Which is prejudice. Which is what you're mad at. It's kind of fucked up. Like you guys are bigoted towards bigots. And another bummer about this imminent set is the abuse that Foreskins just got.
Can we just pause it for a sec here? Now, to be clear, Aaron Berg had just done his entire set on Foreskins and how disgusting they are.
Nobody calls it a set.
And
you know
other anti-white
bit, right?
Jewish sentiment. This is what really the subtext was. He was saying Jewish penises are better than goyish penises. Now, guys, if you have a foreskin out there, here's the key to defending us. Don't put all your eggs in the aesthetically appealing when flaccid basket, because we have to admit that we lose that war. It looks like a baby elephant trunk when flaccid. But it's not dirty if you wash it a normal amount.
All right, it's fine. All right, let's pause. It's fine. We get it. He ends up pulling his dick out, and he gets a big shock laugh. But, yeah, look, anybody in the world could pull their dick out and make a crowd laugh, you know. He was just wrong, but here's the thing. Gavin can't, this is where he's smart. It's a very political move. He can't admit he was wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
Because then he can just always go back to it and go, yeah, dude, I fucking slayed.
Yeah.
And you're literally listening to laughter. Forget, just right there. It was like 2 minutes
of
him getting like a couple pitter-patters. And Gavin has done stand-up before. This wasn't Gavin just trying it blindly. Like, Gavin's done stand-up, and he's also killed. I've seen videos of Gavin doing stand-up at storytelling shows and murdering. Gavin's a very entertaining guy. If you go to his YouTube channel is fucking hilarious, dude. The How to Pee in Public video is so fucking funny, dude. He does like top eight ways to pee in public.
He's a good broadcaster too. He's a great broadcaster. When you listen to his, like, you know, I've been on his show and it's like he does fill 2 hours every day. You know, he absolutely does.
But it's like it really comes down to it's. I don't care. Gavin loves to live in the world of gossip and fight. He even said he was like, "Ooh, I got a juicy piece of gossip for you." It's like, I don't really live in that world where we're fucking gossiping. Even now I'm talking about this, it's making me sick. Thinking about being a fucking pussy right now and gossiping about people behind their backs. But the truth is, Gavin, you know, I had two people tweet at me about this. There's a thing on the Opie and Anthony subreddit. It's not even about Gavin talking about it. Nobody saw Gavin's show. I don't know how many people are watching Gavin's show, but nobody saw it because the thing on the Opie and Anthony subreddit is me responding to somebody posting on a Facebook comment. Somebody took a screen grab of me on Facebook discussing it with some of the fans, like what happened, because they were like, oh, you won't do Gavin's show. I was like, I didn't say I wouldn't do Gavin's show. I said, if you keep on showing up at places and threatening to jump my friends, I was like, I don't really want to associate with you, dude.
Yeah.
Anybody would do that. Yeah. If you go, think about it, you're right. If you're listening at home and you go into your day job, right? And you, whatever, you're baking bagels, right? That's your day job. And, you know, then you have a buddy of yours who's like, hey, you know what, dude? You know your buddy that also works at the bagel shop who you're really close with? Much closer.
I mean, in Gavin's defense, I will say this. Was that what was happening? I mean, did Cale Hartman think he was going to walk in there and, like, throw a punt? Like, because that seems like a weird place to go and confront. Like, is that
I think he's trying to intimidate. Hold on. You want to know some gossip? Gavin also told me flat out, this guy's going to continue to show up at Sam's shows. And he's obsessed with it. He wants to ruin this guy's life.
For what reason?
He wants to ruin his life. That's what he said.
Yeah.
This is not a fucking like, oh, I don't know, man. Was he going to show up and shake his hand? Or Gavin, shut the fuck up. Don't play stupid, dude.
That's
my problem. Be fucking real, dude.
Yeah.
You know what the fuck is up.
But what's
don't play dumb.
So keep showing up and to what? To attack him? I mean, what's the point here?
I guess maybe to provoke Sam to attack him so he can attack him. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Look, here's the other thing. This is what I also explained. It's like, Gavin, you're showing up with these guys like Ryan Katsu Rivera and you. It's like, I like
Who
Ryan. Ryan's right. He's a good kid. He's like a fan of those networks. He goes on Pat Dixon's show.
He goes on
Gavin's show.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to show up at a comedy club. You're going to get these kids stomped the fuck out, dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, If I'm with Sam Morrell, right, yeah, and anybody in the world tries to jump him, yeah, he's my boy. Yeah. Okay, I'm Gavin. You're a 45-year-old man. Who? What do you think you are? Do you think you're a fucking? Could you punch some 17-year-old protester? You, yeah, think you're this tough guy?
Right.
You're an old fucking man, dude. I'm not being an asshole here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's those comics and those bouncers.
Yeah.
Forget just the fucking
bouncers.
Comics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those bouncers will fucking murder you, guys. Are,
yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah,
fucking crazy?
Right, right, right.
The comedy community is very tight, dude.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very tight.
Yeah.
And I know the rumor about comedians is that we're these pussies, and we, you know, we'll just, hey man, don't hit us, man. Sam's not a tough guy.
Right.
But you are, Aaron, I am. You know, Tim, you're a faggot, but you can fight. You've thrown down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think that this is all like, it's kind of like a ridiculous thing because I think that like, it's a thing that now, we just named 10 people that have nothing to do with the actual thing.
Yeah. You're right.
You know what I mean? We just named, there's a thing that happened,
yeah,
between two or three people.
Right.
And now there's 10 people.
Yeah.
That are involved in a thing,
and that's why I'm saying,
yeah,
Gavin sucks. That's what sucks, because,
yeah,
that's his whole world is creating this whole fucking, you know, that's all part of the show, and it leaks over into people's real lives, dude. Let's just say this guy actually raped and beat up this girl.
Yeah,
let's just say, you know, Dave always compares it to the like the truthers, right?
Right,
right. Let's say that Newtown, Connecticut thing. Let's say 99% you're,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it,
yeah,
didn't happen, right?
Right.
But what about that 1% chance that mom who's crying about her daughter dying in Newtown, Connecticut. What about that small chance, like in your mind, the tiniest chance that girl really fucking died? And now you're trolling a woman whose fucking daughter died.
Right.
And that's the same thing here. It's like you're showing up at a place. What if this guy actually did it, Gavin? Why don't you stay the fuck out because you don't know?
Right.
What if he actually did it and now you're going out and you're trolling a guy whose girlfriend was possibly raped and beaten by this guy?
Yeah.
Think about it. This is why I stay the fuck out of it. And I'm not going like, oh, well, this guy's a piece of shit. He should get his fucking ass beat because he raped and beat these women. I was like, I don't know, dude. None of my fucking,
right,
business.
Right, right,
Sam's,
right,
my boy.
Right.
And I stay the fuck out of it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what I'm,
yeah,
saying? That's my fucking boy. And I'm like, right, you know what? Honestly, I'm not going to sit here and throw a guy under the bus that I don't know shit about.
Yeah.
I know nothing about.
Right.
Just like I'm not going to go, just on the other end, Gavin's going, oh, he definitely didn't do it. You don't actually know. You,
right,
don't actually know. So why are you willing to take that chance? What's,
yeah,
the point? You're willing to show up at a place and fucking in real life troll people that may have been hurt on one level or another. There's some weird, crazy shit that you have nothing to do with that you're now bringing everybody involved with for fucking some people to watch your show.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. Please.
Yeah.
It's horseshit. It's absolute horseshit. Okay. So, yeah, if Gavin doesn't want me to, I won't go on Gavin's show. He doesn't have to. I mean, I don't know that he'd be welcome at the Creek in the Cave. I don't know. I don't know how far that whole thing spread. I literally don't know that he'd be welcome there anymore. You know, and that's,
I don't think anyone cares. I mean, like, I don't think he cares. I don't think.
No, he doesn't give a fuck. And
no
that's
one
the point
cares.
That
that's
I'm
fine.
Making.
It's like, who cares? I think this is a lot about a little.
Shannon, can I please have my coffee?
You know?
I'm dying.
Yeah, Shannon, at this point, I want him to get his,
I mean,
coffee.
My fucking,
like,
I mean,
upset.
My mouth is so dry.
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. That's all I want to say about that.
That was great. Kept it nice and brief.
It's a 3-hour.
Dealt with it. Real quick, I want to cover this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy, dude.
It's so fucking, I'm getting myself worked up. I feel like I'm in high school,
yeah,
with he said, she said.
He said, she said, there's a shed with the wood in it.
I mean, what are you going to do?
All right.
It's fucking
great
ridiculous.
Show.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap up here in just a few minutes.
Subprime mortgage was probably the highlight for me.
That was good, man. That was good. As soon as Shannon gets me my coffee, we'll do some questions. Thank you guys for doing the show.
No,
so
thanks
far.
For
Tim
having
J. Dillon's Boiler Room.
Yeah.
It's a good name for a one-man show.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's also a file that the FBI has somewhere. I want to be. I'm going to be questioned about.
It's also an after-hours club.
One day I will imagine that I'll sit in a court and they'll just play back podcasts and I'll be like, ugh, well, trying to get a laugh. And I had a lot of fun on Gavin's show. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah.
There is something fun about that network, you know?
I like him sometimes, too.
I was there yesterday. I was,
yeah,
on Aaron's,
yeah,
show. I do come,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
show.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I wanted to like Gavin.
And,
really,
and they push the boundaries of things, and I don't agree with a lot of what they do, but like I do respect the idea of like when he shows up to give a speech and these fucking people are trying to shut him down. I do respect that he fucking goes and speaks.
I love it.
I respect that 100%.
You cannot find me shitting on Gavin on any,
right,
of these fucking shows.
Yeah.
I've promoted Gavin. I think Gavin's great. I've had him on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
I've done his shows. I've done shows with him. There's been nothing but this kind of, I go like, all right, dude, this almost crossed the line. And then when I approach him about it as a dude and just say, hey, like I call him up being,
yeah,
like, hey, as somebody that I work with and I like, And then he says, I don't give a fuck. I'll still continue to do it. I go, okay, so what am I supposed to say? You don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Cool. Yeah, yeah. We're done. Let's do some questions.
Give me a fucking answer. 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 I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
You know what's up? Every morning around 9 a.m., Facebook.com/LouisJGomezComedy. I will post a little thing about posting questions. So anything you need, if you want some advice, want some insight into our world, this is the fucking place to do it. It's an open Ask Me Anything every single week here on the Real Ass Podcast. All right. Michael Garcia says, fuck, marry, kill the Three Stooges. And I'm going to say right now, we will never answer a fuck, marry, kill question.
No.
I hate it.
Take those questions to guys we fucked, married, killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like when I feel like it's one of the laziest things radio or podcast can do is when they make a bit fuck, marry, kill. Mm-hmm. It's just when they do that, because we've done it on Legion of Skanks.
It's a time filler.
We have nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
It's whoever, you know, and I don't agree with it. I always typically try to come up with something to talk about. But if it ever goes there, whoever's going there doesn't know where to fucking go on that show. And they go to some fucking lazy horse shit, you know? So, no, I hate it. Never ask that again.
Like, next question.
If you ask that again, you're fucking banned. Tim, what are you texting? Who are you texting over there?
I'm looking up Fuck, Marry, Kill.
It's a video podcast.
Do research for the show.
Yeah.
Candace Trujillo wants to know, when can we expect a Louis J. Gomez special from Gas Digital?
Good question.
Obviously, we are doing Dave Smith's special. June 1st, you guys can get tickets. We're going to be posting a link very soon up on the Upper West Side of the Triad Theater. It's going to be incredible. We're going to do the same thing for me. You know, I didn't get the half hour from Comedy Central.
And let me tell you right now, we were shocked.
Yeah.
The industry was reeling, and it was shocking.
We had a night of silence at comedy clubs throughout New York City.
There was a protest in Washington Square
While you were
Park.
On stage.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm okay with silence. I don't have to try and be funny all the time and fail at it.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Too real. So, no, but I'm gonna do something later on in the fall, probably. We're going to do Dave's first, definitely. We're premiering it at Skankfest. And then I'm going to do something myself. I think that we're at a place right now where people got to start taking chances on their own.
Doing their own shit,
you know?
100%.
Why would I wait anymore? I just don't feel like, you know, to wait another year to get out the shit that I'm doing right now, I almost feel like it's kind of pointless. And also with Comedy Central, and this is not a knock on them or anybody else, when you have a corporate structure around your comedy, it's going to be changed. And, you know, a high pressure type of situation like doing a half hour for Comedy Central, you're going to see a very timid version of me. You're going to see me nervous. You're going to see me in my head. You're not going to see me the way I'm in clubs. You're not going to see the way I am. You know, you see me late night at the stand. That's fucking me. That's like, you know, and I need to capture that in order to, you know, to really, in my opinion, present myself to, you know, the world.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing with Dave. And I think it's the reason we're doing it with Gas Digital. And it's a really fucking, you know, involved process, and it's going to take a lot. But the reason we're doing it is because I believe that we're at a place now where we can. I believe that we're at a place now where we need it. You don't need a corporation to get behind you. If you have a fan base and you can sell an album and a special and have it, you know, look nice, and you can keep the cost to the place where you make it profitable, why wouldn't you? Why would you just give away that money and that material and do a different version of yourself and have an edited version of yourself and have a, you know, sponsors that you have to worry about you know, pissing off? And you know, this is, you know, in my opinion, a really good thing.
This is the future, baby.
This is it. And I think Gas Digital is the first company that is taking the step, you know, doing this the way that we're doing it, the way that we're releasing it. Yeah. So I'm very excited about it. And we will be doing something very soon. Also talking to a couple other great comics about doing something with them as well. Let's see. I got to wrap up in just a minute or two. So let's see. Let's see. Da, 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 da.
I think it'd be great if you tape the Gas Digital special and then send it to Comedy Central and say, here's my submission.
That'd be funny.
Jeremy Fisher, when are you going to have Micah Fox on Real Ass Podcast? She's one of the funniest people on Gas. She's been on a few times. Go look up those episodes at Gas Digital, guys. all right, last question. Here it
also
is.
Also, if you care that much, represent her.
Yeah.
You know?
She's fucking funny, dude.
She's great.
She's got a writing gig, a big writing
gig.
Did
she?
She's very lucrative.
She's one of those people that I'm a huge fan of and have been for a very long time.
Yeah. Even back when she used to date Mike Kaplan. Do you remember that?
I wasn't around then, but I know of that. But I'm a huge Megan Fox proponent, and I think she's going to be fucking very successful.
Big time.
All right, last question. I'm aware that most new podcasts on the network are first envisioned in Lewis's brilliant mind before his stellar work ethic makes them a reality. Question.
Lewis,
did you just go through looking for a compliment?
Sincerely,
Lewis literally
J.
wrote
Gomez.
This question on the train in and out of Wi-Fi. He's like, let me just throw together a few words.
Has he thought of giving Amico a horror movie podcast where Zach can discuss and review movies where most people are not aware of? He knows his shit and can make it a fun show.
That's interesting.
Possible name, the Amicoville House of Horror.
Too long of a
the
name.
The name is
too
sucks, long of a name. But the concept, I think, is tight.
I love the concept. We're gonna continue to expand. Zach is a person that, you know, Zach's a part of this fucking family. Yeah. There's, you know, there's no doubt about that. So I'm sure Zach will end up lead hosting something eventually. And as we continue to expand, you know, Gas Digital right now with bringing on Zito and bringing on Bisping, we got to slow down in terms of expansion right now. We have to really focus on, you know, if we spent literally the past 2 weeks going through the website with a fine tooth comb, and because we were getting so many complaints, and it was really just issues with, you know, every browser, every computer, every operating system, they all have to work in conjunction with each other. And when you're coding a website with these very specific components that all have to work together as well, like a free trial, payment system, you know, video player, all this other shit, everything has to work, right? People don't even realize, like, the video, it is transcoded multiple times because there's different quality. So there's, you know, three different types of quality of video plus the audio. So there's all, it's very specific. Nobody has our specific website. Everything is completely customized. So when one little tiny thing goes wrong, it creates a lot of issues. So because of that, you know, we really have to slow down on expanding. We just get these great opportunities, like with Zito and Bisping. We had to take advantage of those opportunities. But the app I just tested as well. I have it on my phone. I'll show you guys after we leave here. Very close to beta.
Yeah.
I would say, what do you think, Ralph? Another month before beta?
Ralph is dead. But anyway,
good. Get out of my apartment. Well, why is Tim pooing in the green room?
So, lots of great stuff happening for Gas. Look, you guys are fucking dope. We're gonna get out of here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tim and Aaron in Hot Water on the Compound Media Network. So fucking funny, dude. We are so delightfully racist on that show and offensive. And it's really, I mean, like, it's like SNL, like a racist, fucked up, sexist SNL.
Yeah.
That's what it is. People don't realize that it's not a podcast. It's like a sketch show almost that you guys kind of structure around a conversation in a podcast. And obviously Tim Dillon is going to hell. Incredible show, one of the fastest growing shows on the network. We'll check you guys next week, Monday and Wednesday, bitch. Peace.
That's all, folks.